I want another baby.
Dead ass.
Dead ass, B.
That was to the point. Well, damn.
Dead ass.
Well, I want $50 million, but who's going to give me that?
I got you.
Mm-hmm.
I got you.
Yeah.
Dead ass.
Show and prove. Hey, I'm Kadeen.
And I'm DeVal.
And we're the Ellises.
You may know us from posting funny videos with our boys.
And reading each other publicly as a form of therapy.
Wait, I make you need therapy?
Most days.
Wow.
Oh, and one more important thing to mention, we're married.
Yes, sir, we are. We created this podcast to open dialogue about some of life's most taboo topics.
Things most folks don't want to talk about.
Through the lens of a millennial married couple. Deadass is a term that we say every day. So when we say deadass, we're actually saying facts. 100. The truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. We about to take pillow talk to a whole new level.
Deadass starts right now.
Have a baby by me, baby, be a millionaire. Have a baby by me, baby, be a millionaire. Be a millionaire, be. I don't play no games when I'm in that thing. Come see what I mean.
I'm scared.
See what I mean.
I'm scared.
But a little mama turn me on. Have you gone? Just someone to mean.
Oh my God.
I don't even know the words. Don't someone to mean. I ain't, that wasn't even English just now.
You gonna
don't
have...
someone to mean. Don't someone to mean.
Don't mess up my boy. I want another baby, song. Yo.
Shout out to Neo, bro. My peoples. Shout out to Neo and Crystal. They have another baby. What's up? Neo and Crystal have another baby. What's up?
What? Yeah. And they also have millions of dollars.
I'm working on
that
it.
That we don't have.
We can work on it collectively. Let me work on that. And then I work on the millions of dollars.
All right. I don't know, DeVal. I don't know. There's a lot that goes into thinking about having another baby. I feel like we're already spread very, very thin. So the fact that we're even having this. Who came up with this topic?
DeVal, who spread thin?
Tribble, did DeVal put you up to this topic?
I had nothing to do with
because
this.
Because I literally just got this run of show to my email about 2.5 seconds ago, and I feel set up.
So, I'll tell you how this all came about, all right? This will take me to story time.
Oh, Lord.
Okay, story time, ladies and gentlemen, story time. As you guys know, we just purchased a new home, right? And upstairs on the second floor, there are four bedrooms. And as I take people on the tour, I go, you know, here we go. This is Kaz's bedroom, you know, blah, blah, blah. Here's Cairo's bedroom. Here's the stairs. Here's Jackson's bedroom. And then off in the corner, there's a bridge to a fourth bedroom. And it's shaped like a dollhouse. It's shaped like a dollhouse.
The trembling and in his voice.
Because this
did
is
y'all
how,
hear that?
Y'all don't understand. Like, I walk in there and I could feel my daughter's presence. Okay? I feel the presence, guys. I feel it. Have a little pink room with a dollhouse, a little cave running around. Talking about ka-ching, daddy, ka-ching, ka-ching.
So how come when I say ka-ching, you don't find it funny? It's not cute when I say ka-ching. You know my nickname is Chingy, right? I was given the
everybody's
nickname, Chingy.
Her nickname is Chingy.
Yeah. That shout out to Brian Jordan Jr.
Yes.
Sisters,
because
bro, Maurice.
I have an
show.
Alert on my phone every time the American Express is hit and it goes ka-ching on my phone. And she be sitting right next to me. And my phone will go off and just be like, ka-ching. And I'd be like, what'd you buy? And she'd be like, huh?
That's something I bought like days ago that's just hitting the account, DeVal. No,
whatever.
No, seriously.
Whatever.
But yeah, that's the best part about it is that since we've moved in and we've had, you know, family and stuff come to visit, my father-in-law even the other day when he was here visiting.
Scoop.
Was helping DeVal mount some TVs and whatnot. And Scoop was just like, yeah, did you check out the baby's room? Because I mounted that TV too. And I was like, the baby's room? So instantly I'm thinking that he's talking about like DeVal's sister or something. Because as far as I'm concerned.
Manifestation.
There's not a baby in here.
Manifestation. Shout out, my sister Tori is having a baby.
She is. And she's having a girl.
Yes, manifestation.
By the time I hear this, she'll be here already.
Probably,
and
yes.
I think that's amazing. And
shout out my niece, Yomi. Shout out my niece, Yomi.
Yomi is going to have a whole room.
A whole cousin to play with. A whole little baby cousin. So let's let's get into the topic of the show.
Yeah, yeah. All right. All right. What's happened?
We're bringing this to people's court, right?
This is already unfair advantage because I already know how majority of people feel about it.
People's court. We are gonna state our case. All right. We're gonna state our case.
Okay.
As to whether or not Kadeen and I should have another baby. Now, for the record, okay. I know that I can't guarantee you a girl.
Why but you gonna steal my argument?
But I'm about 99% sure, though. I'm about 99% sure.
How are you 90? As far as I know, there's a 50-50 chance. So where did you get 99% from?
I've been talking to my boys down here. I've been talking to my yo, y'all need to chill. Let the ladies go first. So the ladies gonna go first and you have a better chance. But I will say this, if I were to get another boy, I'd be hyped because then I would just have four boys and it would just be a wrap.
So it's safe to say that your thing here is that you want a fourth child.
I want another baby, yes. You want a fourth child. I want a fourth child because everybody got a partner on a roller coaster. I said this before. With five of us.
How often do we even get on roller coasters for that to be a determining factor?
Because we don't have four kids. That's why we don't go, because one kid will be left out. So we don't go. But if we have four, it would be me and you, and then Jackson and Cairo, and then Cass, and the baby. So then then we go on roller coasters all the time if you want to.
He or she wouldn't even be big enough to be on a roller coaster for mad long.
My kid, yes, they would.
All right, DeVal.
I'm telling you.
So yeah, I'm on the fence. DeVal, he wants a girl particularly, or another baby, we should say. I think you've always said you wanted four kids. I was kind of like, I always wanted three. You know, I'm one of three. You're one of three. Three just kind of felt like a very round number for us, as much as it's an odd
number. I like square numbers.
But yeah.
Four corners.
Right. So that being said, you know, we're going to talk about the things we love about parenting.
Yes.
You know, what we have noticed about our kids.
Yes.
What are like DeVal and I, what characteristics are like us, which aren't, you know, because some things that our kids do, I'm like, DeVal, that is so you.
Okay, but hold on.
That is so hold me.
On. Tell me why you are so against. Well, you're not against, you're on the fence. Why are you on the fence like, about having another child?
I literally
child?
Got like a toe on the fence. I'm really on like the no side, but I have like my leg is like propped
Explain
up.
Explain to me why. Plead your case. Why? Plead your case.
For me, it's more than just, you know, having another person to provide for and all that good stuff.
I got that.
There's also too this time that I feel like I will have to sit out. That I don't know if I want to have to sit out.
Sit out of
again,
what?
Out of like work, opportunities, thinking about everything that my body goes through. You know, you conceive, you're pregnant for 9 to 10 months, and then you deliver this baby, but your body is still out of commission after that postpartum, that fourth trimester for about a year.
All right, that's fair.
So I'm going to be out for the count for like that's 2 years.
No, you won't. That's fair. Give you a perfect example, right? We have an award-winning podcast, right? That we're doing
thanks
right
y'all.
Now.
Appreciate
thanks to y'all.
That.
Shout out to y'all. That we're doing from home. Mm-hmm. So you won't have to be out of work because we can do it all the way through your pregnancy and you'll be in the comfort of your home. Plus, right, I've been busting my ass, right? We got a gym in here, which means you can be in shape through your whole pregnancy and working and you don't got to miss a beat. So, see, I've been covering all the
but
bases.
But what about on-camera opportunity? What if someone calls me for a role in the
they
show?
They got pregnant roles. They got roles where
what
people
what if the role isn't called for somebody to be pregnant?
They going to write that shit in because you just fly like that, baby.
Make sure you have people you can call to write me in as a
I
pregnant
do.
Woman.
I do.
Y'all heard the record I is do. Showing. You know I love the record to show.
See, I don't be... See, she putting herself in a box.
Right. I don't know.
You can't put
it's
yourself
just,
in the box.
A lot, man.
Don't
it's
put yourself
internal.
In the box.
It's the internal. And one thing you'll never understand. I know you watch me go through it and you can empathize in a sense.
Yes.
But you'll never understand what it's like to actually fully carry an entire person, deliver that person, and then be the source of nourishment for that person for months to come. Like, it's
you know
a
what?
Lot that goes into that.
That's fair, which is why this is even a conversation.
Like my hair is just starting to grow back from Kaz. I've been bald for so long. I'm about to.
You was never
do
bald.
This
your hair was
treatment.
Always good. Like you like, hard on yourself.
It's just
you were hard on yourself. Listen.
Okay.
Right? I understand all of those things. Mm-hmm. Right. As a man, it would be insensitive and tone deaf for me to sit here and make it seem as if I make it seem like it's easy to have a baby. Right. I get that. I'm not by any means trying to say that. Mm-hmm. But I will say that I feel. As your husband and your life partner, that I've provided you an opportunity to have children and continue to exist in the space of work and chase your dreams and goals.
That is a fact. I will say that is a definite pro, mm-hmm. is that I know that if we were to have another child, that's something I would not have to worry about. I can
right.
literally be able to be in a space where I'm comfortable
right.
and be healthy and take the steps that I need to have a healthy pregnancy and healthy baby and all that. Because
yes.
you will... in turn take on the brunt of the
Absolutely.
Responsibilities
Absolutely.
Around the house, finances, all that good stuff.
Okay. So
what
right
you gonna
there,
do about my broken out skin though? and the little things.
What you mean your broken out skin?
That comes with the territory. Comes with the territory.
We will put in a budget. We will put in a budget for you to get facials to make sure that your skin is taken care of. Does that sound right to y'all? Sound fair?
He has an answer for everything. Because I've been planning this out.
I understand that my body goes through nothing when you have a baby. I be putting in the work to get the baby in there. Because I be putting in that work.
I think we can say we put in equal work. What? Listen, don't.
A lot of times you just kind of be like, babe, I just kind of want to say
that.
And I'd be like, cool.
But whatever.
And I'd be like, cool.
It depends on what happens if we had a couple drinks before or not. But that's a whole
discussion. I don't mind if you sit there as long as you arch your back challenge for me. You arch your back challenge for me. It's cool. Problem with that is arch your back challenge gets boys.
Apparently, that's why we have three boys. That's what I've heard. Right. Yeah, you hear the whole wives tales about what you can do to get certain things and certain, you know, outcomes. So I got some facts here. Let me look at some facts. Y'all making me nervous over here. So
I thought you said you wasn't prepared. Now you.
I wasn't prepared, but you know, Dribble gave me some facts, so I'm gonna see what they talking about over here.
Let's see.
According to economist Brian Kaplan, if you have a typical level of American enjoyment of children, you're willing to actually adjust your parenting to the evidence on what matters. Then the right number of children to have is four.
See, this is why I said we should always bring facts to podcasts. This is why.
But it's easier said than done. Having a baby is much different for women than it is for men. And today, we're going to make our cases for why we do want or not want another baby.
But the record shows that the ideal number is four. That's what the kid.
I think four is.
Who's this
cool
capitalist? Brian Kaplan? This guy's a smart guy.
Is Brian the homie?
Brian Kaplan's a smart guy.
I think it's fair to say that,
yes,
like four for me is ideal. Like when you have two boys and two girls, because it's like, oh, everybody has like a brother and a sister. Mm-hmm. Isn't that like adorable? But that wouldn't be the case because we're not going to try to match that if we were to even have another child.
I mean,
but because the thing is, you have another child, say it is a girl, it's going to be like, well, she needs a sister. Where does it stop? Like, where does it stop for people being like, listen, not just you per se, but you know, people joke.
But we could have twin girls.
No.
That wouldn't be dope.
I don't know if my skin will recover.
Twin Kadeems?
The elasticity and collagen in my skin at this age is not popping.
It is. Kadeem, your skin is flawless. And I'm not just saying that because I'm trying to get you pregnant.
No, it's not.
I'm saying that because it's the truth.
Anywho.
Twin girls would look good on you, baby.
But also.
Look good on you.
But also, I also think about quality of life for our children. Right? Being able to spend time with them once they are here. So this let's not even talk about pregnancy and all that. Like, we understand what comes with the territory with that. But thinking about wanting to spend individual time, like, that's something very important to us, that with each child,
Kadeem,
they get their individual time with us.
Kadeem.
So adding one more person to the mix is also going to be one more person's feelings and thoughts and emotions, and us
Kadeem,
navigating and style stepping around how we can parent that child.
Kadeem,
you know what I'm saying?
We have a 9-year-old who don't care nothing about us. I haven't seen Jackson in 5 days.
What do you mean?
And we are in the same house. Jackson don't care about us. He's not worried about how much time he spent with us.
But I am concerned with that.
That's one son already gone.
No,
he already gone. Jackson, we don't even got to count Jackson.
Jackson is like a grown little
man. He's
like
a grown, and like, he's not even a teenager yet.
I have to make a schedule appointment to be able to chill with Jackson, because
that's what I'm saying.
He's very consumed with his virtual learning. He takes this very seriously. And between that and extra,
wait till he get friends. And a girlfriend.
Right.
And sports.
Okay, let's not rush that stuff.
I'm just saying.
I get it. However, it's important to me to make sure that we are able to spend and invest time in our children. You know what? Somewhat evenly. And they get that alone time. You know what I mean? So I never want something like that to sacrifice. I have to sacrifice that with one more child added to the mix.
It won't.
No?
It won't.
All right. Conception. There's different methods.
I know. Go ahead.
There's the whole method here. So conception, what are you willing to sacrifice? Are you willing to sacrifice your sex life? The sex of the baby is determined by which chromosomes are carried by the conceiving sperm cell. But according to urban myths, there are certain steps you can take to conceive a baby girl.
I got a story to tell.
You got another story?
Story time is up,
but I'll let you do another
quick
one.
Story to tell.
Go ahead.
There was a point when Kadeem was trying to conceive a girl.
Mm-hmm.
And she tried to have me doing all of this wild shit, right? For example, we could only have sex on certain days.
That's
we could only have it in certain positions. And there were certain times where it would be like certain times in the night where Kadeem would be looking through her. What was the name of the book you were using?
It was like a little calculator
thing. It was a calculator thing. And she'd be like, it'd be like late at night, 2 a.m. And she'd be like, oh, babe, according to the calculator, we supposed to have sex like today. right, you know, like right now.
Can you pencil me in?
And I'll be like tired. And I'll be like, you want to have sex right now? And she's just like, according to the calculator, it's supposed to happen right now. And I'll be like, I bet. And then she'll be like, and she'll just like lay there and she'll like open her legs. And I'm like, what you doing? She said, but it got to be missionary. Because if we do it any other way,
that's what the book
more than
said.
Likely we're going to have a boy. So I'm just like, are you kidding? Are you kidding me? Like, she's just like, I'm serious. So we tried that. And you know what happened? We had Cairo.
That's a fact.
So all of these urban myths and urban legends to me don't matter.
Mm-hmm.
Don't matter. So what I say is God is going to provide us with what we need.
That's a fact.
You know what I'm saying? So if we have another boy.
I think it's fun to talk about all this stuff, like the different ways. Like they say, for example, boys' sperm spins faster, so the survival period for them is shorter, whereas the women or the female sperm lives longer.
Yes.
And they will be able to, you know, last. So they say if you have sex a little before your ovulation, then the chances are you'll have a girl. That's what we were.
That's what you were trying to do.
We were trying to do that loosely.
I got it.
You know what I mean? And then, of course, there are other high tech options for sex selection. There's IVF, and then there's also sperm selection. Both of these methods, you would have to go into a doctor or a lab or something to do.
And we considered IVF and sperm selection. Kadeena and I actually went through. We went to a fertility specialist,
mm-hmm.
and we were like, let's kind of see what it's like. I don't understand why people get judged for trying to do different things.
Right.
Kadeena and I actually went to, was it an IVF specialist or was it a fertility specialist?
It was a fertility specialist, yeah.
So we went to a fertility specialist, and we found out our options. We asked about sperm sorting first, and they told us sperm sorting is about a 60%.
Yeah, it's like 60-40.
So we were like, right now we're at 50-50.
Right.
Am I going to pay for 60-40? We kind of felt like, what's a more definite way?
Yeah.
So we were asking about IVF.
Mm-hmm.
And we got all the details about IVF. And the only thing that kind of made me like decide that, you know, I didn't think this was the best thing for us because her body would have to go through most of the changes, taking the hormone shots.
Mm-hmm.
And because we already have three children, I felt like I didn't want to force her to have to do anything more to her body and then carry a child.
Mm-hmm.
Now, had we not been able to have children and this is something that we wanted, I definitely would have been with IVF.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Especially with IVF, you get the eggs and then you can find out pre-inseminating them into your spouse if it's a boy or a girl.
Mm-hmm. Pre-implantation,
But what they did tell us was that there is a chance that you could do the IVF treatment, get the eggs, get it all together and it'd be all boys.
Right. Or all girls.
Or all girls. Yeah, so exactly. I was kind of like,
still
stuck up to God if whether God wants to give us boys or girls.
That's the whole fact. And I just kind of feel like, you know, though I'm not against science or anything, like there's a big debate too between the science of things and what God, the universe, or whoever it is you believe in providing for you or giving to you or blessing you with. And, I battled with that too. Cause I was like, you know, am I going to try to, you know, paint out this picture that is not supposed to be, you know, I battled with that too. Yeah, in a way. So I battled with that. That's something that kind of crossed my mind. And then I also thought about people who are unable to conceive naturally and this is like their only option.
Right.
And I kind of feel like, you know, maybe something like this should be reserved for people who this is their only option. You know what I mean?
Well, what we talked about surrogacy too.
Right. And surrogacy is also another option that some people have as well too. And I was kind of like, again, that may be something that's reserved for maybe a same-sex couple who are unable to have and they need a surrogate to carry their baby or, you know, there's so many different reasons as to why a woman may or may not, but my body being fully able to have carried three children, I kind of felt like, you know what, I've been able to do that naturally. So if I were to do a fourth pregnancy, I would do it naturally and then be happy with whatever the good Lord blesses me with.
See, I remember you saying, you know, we were thinking about doing a surrogate and you said the one thing you didn't want to have to tell your daughter or son was that, you know, where's my maternity pictures, mom?
Mm-hmm.
Like you have maternity pictures with Jackson, Cairo, and Cass.
Right.
And then you're like, well,
and was it strictly for the vanity of it all? Like, well, I didn't want to have to worry about getting my body back. You know what I mean?
Like, which is understandable.
It's understandable. Some people have careers that they're just like, you know what? I can't sit out for, you know, 9 months to a year. There's no judgment there. That's just what something that, you know what I mean? You feel like you just don't want to do or you don't want to sacrifice. And that's.
And for me, it was like, it's your body that has to go through it for 9 months and then a whole year after with, you know, nursing the baby and then trying to get back. So me as a man and as your life partner, I felt like it's not my responsibility to tell you what's the best way to conceive. So I kind of wanted to find out from you, like, what did you think would be the worst way? Because I was with anything. I was with the sperm sorting. I was with IVF. I was with doing the IVF and picking a sex of the baby. I was with doing a surrogate if that was with what mm-hmm. you was with, but you felt like you wanted to have that connection. So mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? She wants to have the connection and we would have to do it this way. Mm-hmm. But then you're on the fence now mm-hmm. about it. So my question to you is, how much of this is really a partnership and a agreement mm-hmm. or is it really just if you want to have another baby is yes, or if mm-hmm. it's no, it's no.
Right.
How much is it really?
I think that's a difficult situation to be in, or a difficult question to answer rather, because it's like, naturally I would like to consider your feelings. I want to consider how you feel, what you want out of life as well too. Mm-hmm. And especially if we're going to be having children together, like this is something that we are doing together. You, if you wanted to, could essentially go and have another child with anybody else.
I could do that.
You know what I'm saying?
But I don't want to die.
You don't want to die. You know I'm crazy. you don't want anybody else to get injured. So that being said, you know, yeah, the wise thing to do would be for us to come to some sort of agreement.
Yes.
So, but yeah, I do feel like I also too have to take into consideration how you feel. I think what makes it easier for me to even be on the fence at this point is the fact that you fully understand the process mm-hmm. from conception to postpartum. Mm-hmm. You are an amazing father.
I appreciate that.
You are super active.
I am dad goals.
He actually really is.
Shout out dad gang.
In real life.
Sean, like, shout out dad gang.
You dad goals.
I wore the shirt on purpose to,
but state it's in my case. The good thing, well, it's in blue. But the good thing is that there's no longer any colors.
No.
There's no gender norms and shit like that no more.
There isn't?
So, no, I mean, shoot, blue could be for girl too. But historically.
All right. I guess.
So yeah, that makes it easier for me to be like, okay, well, if I were to have a fourth child, I know that I wouldn't be in this alone, that I would have all of the resources and the support that I needed. And not just from you, but like my mom who's here with our three boys, who's being driven crazy daily with our three boys.
Absolutely.
our families who are super involved and everything like that. So that makes it in turn easier for me to even be on the fence at this point. So I do try to take into consideration how you feel. And I think it does have to be a collective decision.
So you think it has to be a collective decision? At any point, did you feel like I was being selfish for wanting another child when you said you were done at three?
No, I never felt like it was selfish. At first, I thought you were joking, to be quite honest. So the fact that we're even having this conversation in this podcast, I'm just like, wait a second, you are actually really serious.
Yes.
But also, I was thinking about, too, like women after the age of 35, you know, become high risk.
You older than 30?
There's complications.
I thought you was 25.
I mean, according to some paper, they say that, but I feel very 21, 22-ish.
I thought you was young. I didn't know.
I feel very 21, 22-ish, but according to this little old paper.
So we ain't worried about that paper. That paper don't mean nothing to us.
You know what I mean?
No.
I'm not sure what my insides look like, although I do try to take good care. So that's something that I also take into account, too. I'm like, man, I finished having Kaz. I literally had Kaz a week before I turned 34. Mm. So I'm like, man, I was done with all of my kids at 33. Now I can focus on getting myself back in order and whatnot. Mm. And it's kind of like, I don't know what the recovery is going to be like, you know, after
it'll be good.
A fourth. So
it'll be good.
I don't know. It's rough. It's a lot of things to take into consideration, mm-hmm. to be quite honest. You know, there are many phases. There's the newborn phase, you know, where the sleep deprivation is real. And,
I can't help you with that. You breastfeed. I don't got no breasts.
Mm-hmm.
I have a pretty big chest from doing all these push-ups. But there's no
very
milk,
comfortable, might I add.
There's no milk coming from them. So I can't, I'm not even going to try to state my case for the newborn phase.
Yeah.
That's going to be your realm. You mm-hmm. and typically your mom and your grandmother come up here and stay with us. So the good thing is we have space now mm-hmm. so that everyone can feel comfortable and you can have help that lives here mm-hmm. with us. So, you know, you're probably going to lose more sleep. So I'll give you that. Mm-hmm. The newborn phase is definitely going to be something that is going to be probably 90% right. you.
I think a pro, think about caring for four children. We have three boys who are now pretty much independent enough they may be able to help themselves a bit. Jackson being like super big brother, also helping with the two little ones.
Mad mature.
Super mature. So I think it would be easy in general. You know, I'm trying to think of a count up to the age when Jackson will be able to babysit, you know, a little bit. I think we can kind of loosely have him watch his brothers while we're in the house with
absolutely.
Them together. We're not leaving them alone, but
absolutely,
you know,
absolutely.
So, you know, by 5 years old, I think actually now Kaz can dress himself.
I feel like
Cairo can dress
the
himself.
Winds are,
no, I just had to
my
stay.
Direction.
I
feel like it's leaning in my direction.
There's no wind in here.
It's windy in here.
Closed. We are enclosed. I'm just trying to be fair to the discussion and giving pros and cons.
Okay, okay.
Don't get excited.
Okay.
Don't.
All right, I'm going to get excited. All right.
I'm just trying to be fair to the argument, or the discussion rather. And then by nine, you know,
that's what Jackson's now. He's all good.
Yeah. It is funny. He said kids should be able to take care of their personal hygiene without assistance. Yeah. Without assistance. But I'm going to have to remind that it reminds him every single day. He came down this morning. For example, we're here recording this podcast, you know, in the home, and we have our producer Tribble here. We have Josh here. We have Dave, AKA Dimple God. And I mean, at this point, Jackson comes downstairs and he's having a full-blown conversation with Tribble, and I'm looking over at him and I'm like, this bro did not brush his teeth this morning. I can guarantee it. So I call him over and I was like, Jackson, do you think that it is wise for you to wake up this morning, come downstairs, be all in Tribble's face without brushing your teeth?
He's nine.
And he hits me with the no, the back end of the no. I was like, go upstairs.
He's nine.
And brush your teeth.
He's nine.
And he's like, am I in trouble? And I was like, Tribble was in trouble. Okay.
But that's why we here.
You
though.
Know what I'm saying?
But that's why
so
we here.
So you still gotta remind these boys, okay?
And he's gonna remind his like brothers.
Broken ass record up in here. They're probably thinking I'm like the most naggiest person ever in life. But at this rate, I'm just like, man.
I mean, sometimes you be nagging, but
I know, be reminding. Let's stay
on focus
though.
But let's stay on focus. Yeah, talking about babies here. Jackson is nine. He got his own set of issues at nine. I'm talking about the babies, all right? Okay. Next one says, what about our relationship? Is your marriage able to withstand the changes that come with having a new baby in the home?
Talk about it.
So,
because if you don't get what you want in a timely fashion, you don't want to hear no excuses.
Why we got to talk about
think
old
about,
shit?
Right? Think then about,
we just do a whole podcast about the next 10. And you just theorize all this thing. Look,
think about let me how
can I finish reading the
tumultuous
thing? Can I finish reading the thing?
Our relationships were when
so
I was
pregnant.
So
I can't
pregnant.
Finish reading my thing? Time out. Our relationships were not tumultuous when you were pregnant. With
they
Cairo,
were.
With Cairo and so how'd you get pregnant with Cass so fast? Stop it. Stop it.
I mean, there's just some things that have to get done, however.
Look, sociologists theorize that.
That's what happened when you're about to lie. No. He was about to lie, y'all. You see, he can't even talk straight.
Listen, sociologists theorize that in heterosexual relationships, mothers are more unhappy with their marriages after they have children because they tend to take on more second shift work, child care, and housework, and begin to feel that their relationships are no longer fair. I can honestly say that is not true. That's not true.
In our case, it isn't.
So that's why we don't got to worry about that. So okay. I feel confident saying that. According to research, couples have sex less often after they have a baby.
A fact.
Now, those first a six fact. Weeks, we couldn't have sex at all.
Yeah, but even right? after the 6 weeks.
After that, you were tired.
Yeah, after that, you were and tired. Very unsexy. And
in your mind, you was unsexy. In my mind, you was not unsexy.
There was nothing sexy about milky boobs and, you know.
That's debatable.
Being extra.
That's debatable. All right. You were swollen everywhere, all the right spots. So you can say you weren't sexy, but I will, you know, respectfully disagree with you because I felt like you were sexy after having children.
I guess it's
that's why you got pregnant again with Kaz 15 months later.
Super soon.
But my thing is what these sociologists are saying are true for most people. In our case, that is not the case. I'm a very, very involved father, and
yes,
you don't
you
get
are.
Left with all of the responsibilities. I also moved your mom in and I will move your grandmother in. So you don't have to worry about not having help. Mm-hmm. So for me, all of the arguments that women have for saying they don't want to have another child because they get left with everything and the man gets to go out and roam and do and live his life, it's not the case with us.
Right.
So for me, I'm like, dad goes, you know what I'm saying? And the Bible says, be fruitful and multiply. It is my God-given duty to multiply. I gotta multiply. Like,
we have.
God told me to do it.
We have a replica of you running around here. He was just here 2 seconds
ago.
But
I only got three.
Only three.
I need four. And if I could get a girl, if I could get a girl out of that fourth one, son, it's a wrap. Like,
man,
I'm not gonna ask you for nothing else ever in life. We don't even gotta have sex no more.
What?
Give me a girl.
So
we don't gotta have sex
no more.
You're
pretty much trying to say that if we have this fourth child and it's a girl. Or a boy, or is it just has to be a girl? Then I have to ask you.
Just four. Just one.
Just
four.
Wow.
Just four.
I don't know if I can hold up to that end of the bargain, though.
I mean, I'm just lying because I'm going to want to have sex
immediately the
after.
The day after.
But it sounded good when I was thinking it.
Right.
Until I said it. Right. Then when I heard myself, I was like, there's no way.
No.
But I just want four. I want four. Like, And I know I be talking about wanting a girl so bad, and I have to just say this publicly too, because if I do have another son, I don't want people to be like, oh, he had another kid, he's not happy with the fact that he has a son. If I have four boys, I would pound my chest around here and feel like the king, bro. I got four sons. Like, I feel like I'm playing with house money and I can't lose. Because if I have a daughter, I get my princess. I get my little mini K that I can spoil.
We get the dollhouse.
We get the dollhouse. And if I have a boy, right. I got four sons. I got four soldiers. You know what I'm saying?
Right. I agree. If I had a mini me.
So what's up?
That would be great. If I had four boys, can you see me with like four like beautiful men? Like eventually one day? Just walking around
protecting you every corner.
That's a fact.
And then me right there.
And three. Look, even that's like a trifecta.
You see
that's
what I'm saying? Too. That's what I'm saying.
Three looks cute.
You can have three in the media, and then you could hold my daughter
right
there, and then y'all be protected. Like, don't that sound, I sound like the wind's blowing in my favor.
We could talk about it.
All right, so, you said you were on the fence before, so it was 50-50. Are you closer this way?
I'm straddling the fence because you've made some valid points. You've made valid points like the fact that you're an involved dad and yes. you are super supportive and all that good stuff.
Yes.
That's great. That's probably the strongest argument that you've made because at least I won't feel like, what?
That's the strongest one?
Yeah, that was the strongest one that you made, that you're an amazing dad. What about
your
ones?
What about the fact that you also would like to have a daughter? You would like to have a bond. That's a very strong point in my favor for having another daughter.
It would be nice, but I don't feel a deficit. Like, I've had conversations with women who have all girls or all boys. And that's just the natural conversation. Like, you know, I don't take offense to it when people are just like, well, when's the girl come? When's the girl come? I don't take offense. Because at this point, I'm used to people A, clocking your uterus, and B, asking what's next when it comes to your reproductive system. So I'm okay with it. I don't take offense to it. But I think it's a natural question that people ask. If you have all of one thing, don't you wonder what it's like to have the other? And I had a conversation on, I think it was on Angel's podcast. Mm. That chick Angel on Instagram. I think it was on her podcast.
Shout out to Angel.
Yeah, what's up, Angel girl? Angel
a Black Love alum.
Yes, she has four boys now.
Yes,
she had one son, then twin boys, and then she just had her last. She has four total now. She says she's done. So the question had came up that if you know, do you feel like a deficit, like you're missing something by not having a girl? And she said for her, like even with her last son, there was like a mourning that happened when she found out she wasn't having a girl, because she's kind of like had this letter written to her daughter that she just like was so like that's something that she's always wanted. So she did kind of feel like, man, but now that she has her four boys, she's just like, you know, I'm good. Like I have a house full of beautiful men. And I get that feeling. I, on the other hand, never felt a deficit not having a daughter. I really haven't.
Yeah. If y'all can't see me, my face is like this.
No, there'd
be
I times haven't.
Me and the boys be around here slamming each other into the couch, running, farting, looking at the video games and the basketball. And you just be like, oh, that's what boys do.
Right. And I go to the room and I chill by myself and I'm good with taking a nap or watching a show by myself.
You don't want to, you know, have a little daughter you can dress up.
It would be nice, but I don't feel like, I honestly don't feel like I have some sort of deficit missing in my life. It may be different if I eventually have a daughter and then I'm like, oh my God, I can't imagine what my life would be like without you.
So what about the little IG pictures you be sending me of little cute girls dressed up like their mom?
Because they're super cute.
She says she don't have a deficit, but she sends these things to me.
They're cute.
She sends them to me, guys.
I look at pictures of like beautiful, like rings and like vacations and stuff. That doesn't necessarily mean that I have to have it right now.
Come on, you were sending me rings when you wanted to upgrade and you got to upgrade.
Subliminals.
You were sending me houses when you wanted a house. You got a house, right?
We were house shopping. What you mean?
So you sending me little girls telling me subliminals that you want a daughter. I'm winning this argument, by the way, guys.
I sent you cute little boys too, though.
I gave you those too.
Oh, Lord.
That's, I'm a provider. I provide you with the things. Have a baby by me, baby. Be a millionaire. I'm winning an argument, guys. So listen, this is what we're going to do. We're going to take a quick break.
All right.
All right. We're going to answer some listener letters. When we come back after the listener letters,
so what's,
we're
going to
do our
truth?
Moment of truth.
Is that going to be a decision?
Is you going to tell me whether or not we're going to have a baby or not?
Oh, God, no. I don't like that kind of pressure. I need to sleep on it. You know, I'm a sleep on it kind of person.
All right. So sleep while we pay these bills on these ads. And when we come back, we're going to do these listener letters and then you can give me an answer. All right. Guys, we'll be right back after these ads. All right, guys, we're back with listener letters.
Ooh, let me scroll up.
Kadeen's most important part because she knows you.
Are you going to say that every episode?
Every single time.
I feel like you know that already, but it's
they
good.
Do.
That's all right.
Let's start with these listener letters. All right. Because y'all know, I know y'all want to get to the moment of truth to find out if Kadeen is going to say yes or not. Oh, I'm going to go first.
You acting like this is a proposal or something.
I've been proposing to you about this baby for a minute, son.
Does it come with a ring and
like,
a wedding?
Yo, like.
Does it come with a ring and a party?
Everything you do comes with a ring and a party. You got to upgrade for this. You get like, come on, son. When do I get a ring and a party for anything? Do I ever get a ring and a party?
I can throw you a party and I can get you a ring too.
But don't I don't ever get me. One.
Don't play with me. What you want it for?
Shoot. I was going to say something, but it's too explicit. It's too explicit.
Oh, all right. Lord.
My boyfriend and I had a pregnancy loss about 4 months ago. Although the pregnancy was unplanned, we went from being scared to excited in no time. At 20 weeks, our baby girl was diagnosed with a genetic disease that had a low life expectancy rate. After the loss, I wanted to try again. However, my boyfriend was adamant about not wanting kids right now. He's been pressuring me into taking birth control, which I don't want to do because of how it makes me feel. I've suggested condoms, but he doesn't like the idea of that. I just found out that I'm 4 weeks pregnant and he's pissed. Yeesh. He's been trying to talk me out of keeping the baby because he feels like we're not ready. After experiencing one loss, I'm not prepared to go through another. I told him that if he didn't want anything to do with the baby, that he could go. I know pushing him away isn't the answer, but he's being insensitive. Wow. Every time we start talking about the baby, we fight. I'm going to regret terminating the pregnancy, but I don't want to lose him either. I'm stuck on what to do as I don't want to be a single parent or lose my boyfriend. Do you guys have any helpful advice for me?
What I'm wondering is if suffering the first loss, if he has not quite dealt with that, because there's a bit of
because she said he was excited. And
yeah,
then
there's probably some. There's definitely trauma around that, especially.
There's a mourning period.
Yeah, there's a mourning period that comes with loss, and especially at 20 weeks, and then, you know, it's a girl, and you know what I mean? It brings that much more life to the idea of having a baby. So maybe he hasn't fully mourned that or dealt with that loss, and in turn, why now he is scared, you know, and that being scared or that being worried or concerned can also manifest itself as anger. And he may not necessarily be angry per se, but at the same time, it's about the way it's coming across, which I see can make her feel like she's stuck between a rock and a hard place. So that's a tough place to be in, but I would probably suggest having maybe more conversation about that loss and how it made him feel. You know, I don't know if that's something that was done yet, but that might help him kind of get his feelings out about that so that he can then move on to possibly embracing this next little blessing that came along, you know?
Well, what I'm hearing about these two, first of all, they sound very young. First thing she says, she had another baby. If she had the baby, she lost the baby. They were continuing to have sex. He didn't want to have another baby, so he asked her to take birth control. She said no, but he doesn't want to wear condoms, which means neither one of them want to take the proper steps to use contraceptive. Mm-hmm. You know, I do think it's kind of selfish for a guy to say, I don't want to have a baby, but I'm not going to wear a condom.
Right.
So you have to take birth control. It's something that affects your body. I think that that's very, very selfish.
Because if she's anything like me, I know how sensitive my body is.
It affects your body.
Control. Yeah.
So I think it was unfair for him to do that. If you are adamant about not having a baby, you should wear a condom. You know, but clearly she wasn't taking the birth control, and I'm not sure if she told him she was and then wasn't taking it and got pregnant again. Mm-hmm. But now they're here. They're pregnant again. She does not want to have an abortion, but she does not want to lose him. Mm-hmm. I believe in a woman's right to choose. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm pro-life. You know, if it were me, you know, and my wife said she wanted to have a baby, I'd be like, let's go do it. You know what I'm saying? But I feel like as a man, I can't tell a woman what to do with her body. Mm-hmm. So
you're pro-choice. You're not pro-life.
No, I mean, I personally, myself, but I'm not going to be pro-life for you. You know what I'm saying? Like for me, if you and I were to have a baby, I would go with, well, not have a baby, but if we were young kids, I would be with, I want to have the baby. Mm-hmm. But I cannot tell a woman what to do. Mm-hmm. So I just want to make it clear that I'm not going to go out there and be like, you need to have an abortion.
Right.
But at the same time, I'm not going to, you know.
Right. So you would step up to the plate.
I would step up to the plate if.
Take responsibility.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like that's what I would do. Mm-hmm. Hopefully this young man, if you are responsible enough to lay down with a woman and not want to wear a condom because you don't want to like the way it feels, step up to the plate.
Right.
But if he's not, it's up to her to decide what she wants to do because she will be the one that is forced to live with this decision for the rest of her life.
Right.
So I'm pro-choice in the fact that I believe that, you know, women have the right to choose what to do with their bodies. Mm-hmm. But me, if it were me and I were him, I'm like, well, you're pregnant, so let's go.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I think it's important to decipher the difference, mm-hmm. because I wouldn't want to take a woman's choice away.
I think that's fair. He might. And I wonder if it's a thing where maybe he's trying to kind of call her bluff with it.
I don't know. I don't like to try to figure out what he's thinking or what she's thinking.
Because we don't know, but it's just, you know, just possibilities. But I'm just trying to think, like, if he's just like, you know, do this or else I'm going to leave. But say she does decide that she wants to keep this baby and move on, and she runs the risk of potentially losing him. Will he kind of come to his senses later and say, okay, you know, praying that she has a healthy baby, that he's just like, damn, I was overreacting, or I felt this way because I was worried, or, you know what I mean? That may be a conversation that needs to be had between the two of them.
I would say for her not to make any decisions based around him or how he feels. Mm-hmm. She has to make decisions about what is best for her and how she feels. Mm-hmm. Because when you make decisions about people who can come and go into your life, you never want to make a life decision for someone who is temporary. Mm-hmm. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The only thing that's definitely permanent here is this child, if she's able to carry full term. Mm-hmm. So she needs to make a decision for herself based on that. That's making a decision about someone who's a boyfriend, mm-hmm. who may or may not be here,
right.
I wouldn't do that. So she needs to think about what her morals are, where she feels, because she's going to have to live with this decision for the rest of her life and do what's in the best interest of herself.
Yeah, that's true. The last thing you want to do is make that decision with someone else in mind and then harbor resentment or be upset.
Right.
Or then now you resent the baby once the baby comes. Right. And you're doing all these things because it's like, I made this choice.
Right.
But then you try to place blame after.
Absolutely.
So good luck to you, sis. I hope you are able to figure things out. And best of luck with your pregnancy.
So look, I think we only got time for one listener letter today, because we do have a long moment of truth, because I want to go through all of these questions to kind of figure out where we are.
Okay.
Okay. So what I'm going to do, like I said, I believe in a woman's right to choose. Mm-hmm. I'm going to ask you the questions.
Okay.
And you can give me your answers.
Are
and
we
then we'll
keep
figure.
Score?
We'll keep
we'll
score.
We'll figure out a way to keep score with this.
All right. So, conception. Are you willing to sacrifice your sex life to have another child? Me, personally, I know our sex life is going to change. I'm cool with that. I did it 3 times before.
Is the camera rolling?
I did it 3 times before.
Because the way this dude is set up sometimes, y'all, Am I willing to sacrifice, if someone's asking me the question, you're asking me the question plainly. Okay. Am I willing to sacrifice my sex life? Yes, I would be willing to sacrifice my sex life.
Okay, so that's one for the good guys. Okay. Pregnancy, labor, and delivery. How do you weigh the risks? When women over 35 are at a higher risk for the following complications. Gestational diabetes, mm-hmm. high blood pressure, premature birth, low birth weight, birth defects, including Down syndrome, miscarriage, stillbirth. These are things women over 35 can do to lower risk. Maintain a healthy weight, prenatal care, stay on top of treatment for any pre-existing health conditions, avoid smoking, drinking, and drug abuse, avoid harmful chemicals. So this is shit people should do anyway. Eat right, healthy, stay active.
Right.
So when it comes to pregnancy, labor, and delivery, the risks are all on you because you're the carrier. You're the vessel of life. Course. So how do you feel about that?
I mean, I feel like I've been trying to maintain a healthy lifestyle for just because, you know I have a lot of pre-existing conditions in my family that historically mm-hmm. tend to rear its ugly head at a certain age in life. So being mindful of that, I think in general, mm-hmm. I've been trying to make sure that I'm conscious about how I eat, how I, you know, try to work out somewhat consistently. But that's left to be seen. I don't have any excuses now, though. We have equipment here. So there are risks, but I do have a really great relationship with my my midwife and my GYN and stuff like that. So is that something that I'd be concerned about? No.
One more for the good guys. That's two. But finish.
I wouldn't
finish.
Be concerned about it, but I also do know that there is, methods that have to be taken, steps that need to be taken. So I feel confident with the people who I would have alongside me through a process like that. I do feel comfortable.
Okay. Next question. Caring for a newborn, who's going to lose more sleep? We discussed this.
Or am I willing to lose more sleep?
Are you willing to lose more sleep?
That might be a no for me, dog. We're going to have to figure out something else.
Figure out something else. Your mother live here.
All right, well.
And grandma will come.
Did you talk to grandma yet? He trying to move grandma in.
You know
too.
I spoke to grandma already.
You
That's one more for the good guys. 3-0.
Don't be calling 3-0
for baby Ellis.
Don't be calling my grandmother without me knowing.
Okay. Caring for four kids. Are three boys independent enough to help themselves while caring for a newborn? Let's think about our kids.
Okay. Thinking about my boys and how they coexist together. They are very, very self-sufficient for their
boom! Kids. One more for the good guys. That's 4-0. Jackson is a grown adult. Kyra was right there. Kaz is on the border.
Kaz is on
but
the
Kaz
border.
Is potty trained now. He tells me exactly what he wants to eat.
Kaz so. Dresses himself too. I was surprised the other day. No one actually guys, I feel like we good. Taught Jackson how to dress himself and all of a sudden Kaz can just dress himself on his own.
He's looking good.
I feel
guys.
Like these questions are mad skewed, yo. Looking good, guys. I feel like Tribble came in here, she got introduced to the baby, the well, baby room.
Tribble.
Now she posed these questions where right. it's gonna look skewed, but
last question.
Okay.
What about our relationship? Is our marriage give me a hand. Is our marriage able to withstand the changes that come with having a new baby in the home?
If I'm being honest.
Yes. Be honest. That's all I want is honesty.
When we spoke about where we see our next 10 years going, mm-hmm. right? I did not foresee 10 years going necessarily with another child. However, based on the conversation that we had with the 10 years, we did say we were going to put each other first.
Okay.
Right?
Yes.
So me putting you first, you putting me first, and then the children will then be able to reap the benefits mm-hmm. of us putting each other first.
Yes.
If we stay true to that, it's possible.
Five. That's one more for the good guys. That's 5-0, baby. No, this is a sweep.
The sleep situation, listen. Though, I was one for me.
This, all right. So even if it's 4-1. All right. So
4-1.
Okay. So it's 4-1. I know that that's still not a yes. I get that.
Yeah.
Right? But at least it's not a no, which means we're picking up steam, people. We're picking up steam, but we're running out of time. Because I know that you wanted to have a baby at a certain age.
Yes. I would have wanted to be done by a certain age. I thought I was done.
But here's the thing, though. You're so fine. Everybody still thinks you in your 20s. So you good. So right now, we winning. All right? I'm going to start working on the other processes to make that happen.
We as in you and the thousands of people who yes. know and love us and watch our story. I love y'all, but y'all crazy.
So here's the collective moment of truth.
Okay.
The collective moment of truth is if Kadeem was a little bit younger, she would have been all in it. Yes, to starting a baby.
Yes.
The only thing she's truthfully worried about is the bounce back mm-hmm. of the fatigue and yeah. physically where your body is yeah, because of your age.
Slower.
So it's not about the process. Number of kids. It's just you're a little later on in life.
They gotta provide regardless of how many children that we have. So that isn't really a concern.
Hush your mouth. Not only will God provide, DeVal will provide as well.
Absolutely. You will. I don't have any doubts about that.
I got you.
But
I got her.
Piggybacking off that moment of truth, ultimately, it's nice to make it a collective decision. However, whenever a couple is married or debating about having a child, I think it's nice to, have the collective conversation. Mm-hmm. A lot of times, ultimately, it is up to the woman in many cases because we carry the babies, we carry the children. Yes. But at the same time, too, I feel like with that collective decision, there's not necessarily a hard yes or no from either party. You know what I mean?
I know what you mean.
Like, I feel like sometimes if a man is too outspoken about the way he feels about pregnancy, it's taken as insensitive.
It's taken as pressure. Why are you pressuring her to have another baby?
Or pressuring her
We're
not
allowed
to
pressure y'all.
No. I don't agree that. Yeah. This is one domain where y'all can't. Y'all
yeah, y'all can her. Y'all can pressure us about marriage. But
You can't pressure you
about babies.
I think this is something very different.
No, it is different. It is very different. It is, and mainly because you go through some physical changes. I don't know if people know this, but you had to get emergency surgery, and I could have lost you after having Jackson.
Absolutely.
That's why this is so important to me to have this discussion, because you had to go to surgery. I didn't see you or Jackson for hours. Mm-hmm. You were close to having a blood transfusion, and you almost bled out because your cervix had ruptured, not ruptured, was lacerated.
Severely.
And you were losing a ton of blood. So,
severely, yeah.
It's not, it's a false equivalency to try to make it an even thing. And mm-hmm. obviously I was joking, but
It's a fun conversation to have.
But I love you and I love having kids.
I want
more kids. 4 would be a nice square number. for me. You know, the nice screen number for me. So we'll pray on it.
Yeah, we'll pray on it. We'll see. We'll see how it goes. I can't say that I'm fully in or out at this point, but.
All right, we'll see how it goes, guys. We'll see how it goes.
DeVal be the one in and out, but.
I do be in and out. I spend a lot more time in, though.
The practice part.
So check this out. If you'd like to be featured as one of our listener letters, email us at deadassadvice@gmail.com.
For sure. And yes. Be sure to follow us on social media. You can find us at Deadass the Podcast, and you can find me on my personal page at Kadeen I Am.
And I am DeVal. And if you're listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to rate, review, subscribe, and vote baby number 4.
Oh my God.
For the Ellis's.
Watch, you're going to get an influx of listener letters that are going to be like, I think y'all should do this to get a girl. Tribble, look out for all the recipes because I know people going to send them in. DeVal has to have sex with one foot up, the other one with sock, the black on. Sock on.
Yes.
While you're blinking your eyes 1,000 times.
I'm going to enjoy practicing. Deadass is a production of iHeartMedia Podcast Network and is produced by Denora Pena and Tribble. Follow the podcast on social media at Deadass the Podcast and never miss a thing.